From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with his study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is explaining Paul's teaching about justification by faith. The text for this message is chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul has cited the example of David, as found in Psalm 32, to emphasize the blessedness of the man who is justified by faith apart from works. Once again, the focus is on the righteousness of Christ, which God imputes to the sinner who repents and trusts in the Savior. The thrust of Paul's argument is that justification refers to the sinner's legal standing before God, not to anything that man has done or can do for himself. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Beauty, Basis, and Blessings of Free Justification. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 1, three simple words, mighty to save. By the words to save, we understand the whole of the great work of salvation, from the first holy desire onward to complete sanctification. The words are much in little. Indeed, here is all mercy in one word. Christ is not only mighty to save those who repent, but He is able to make men repent. He will carry those to heaven who believe, but He is, moreover, mighty to give men new hearts and to work faith in them. He is mighty to make the man who hates holiness love it, and to constrain the despiser of His name to bend the knee before Him. Nay, this is not all the meaning, for the divine power is equally seen in the afterwork. The life of a believer is a series of miracles wrought by the mighty God. The bush burns, but is not consumed. He is mighty to keep His people holy after He has made them so, and to preserve them in His fear and love until He consummates their spiritual existence in heaven. Christ's might doth not lie in making a believer and then leaving him to shift for himself, but He who begins the good work carries it on. He who imparts the first germ of life in the dead soul prolongs the divine existence and strengthens it until it bursts asunder every bond of sin and the soul leaps from earth, perfected in glory. Believer, here is encouragement. Art thou praying for some beloved one? Oh, give not up thy prayers, for Christ is mighty to save. You are powerless to reclaim the rebel, but your Lord is almighty. Lay hold on that mighty arm and rouse it to put forth its strength. Does your own case trouble you? Fear not, for His strength is sufficient for you. Whether to begin with others or to carry on the work in you, Jesus is mighty to save, the best proof of which lies in the fact that He has saved you. What a thousand mercies that you have not found Him mighty to destroy.
Now I
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Thing that a holy and just God can do with ungodliness, and that is he must condemn it. And yet here we read, he justifies the ungodly. And not only so, but he justifies the ungodly without the ungodly doing anything at all to deserve it. Now that's the launching point for Paul and for us tonight. Keep that in mind. And you will see first the beauty of free justification. Watch carefully the terms of verse 7. Because here Paul is defining and describing sin, guilt, ungodliness. Notice the words he uses. He uses the words iniquity, sins, and then in verse 8, sin in the singular. The word iniquities in verse 7 carries the idea of lawlessness. The idea in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew of Psalm 32, and here in the Greek of Romans chapter 4, the idea of both words carries the notion of rebellions. These iniquities are rebellions. They are revoltings against God. You remember how the Lord Jesus in his parable in Luke chapter 19 said something that really expresses the heart of the natural man against God and his Christ? We will not have this man to reign over us. That's the spirit of rebellion. That's the spirit of revolting. That's the idea of these iniquities or lawlessnesses. Now in verse 7 we have also the word sins. This is the word that you've heard preachers say many a time. Carries the idea of missing the mark. And that's true. And I have dealt with this in some detail before, so I'm not going to go into it in detail again tonight. It does mean missing the mark. But I want you to keep something in mind here. When you talk about somebody missing the mark, you have a picture in your mind, say, of a man with a bow and arrow. We'll not talk about guns. But we have somebody aiming at something, and he's trying to hit it. Maybe because he's got bad eyesight or bad equipment or lack of strength or whatever, he doesn't hit it. Missing the mark. He's trying but failing. That is emphatically not the idea in this word. This is not an accidental failure to hit the mark. These rather are acts of willful, criminal refusal of God's standards and replacing God's standards with those of our own invention. That's the idea of missing the mark. It is rebelling and revolting against God who has set the mark. It is rejecting of the standard that God has set, and it is replacing it with one of our own devising. We miss God's mark because we're aiming at something totally different. That's what he's saying. So there's a lawlessness, and then there's a missing of the mark. Then in verse 8, he talks the last word in the verse is sin. And the singular is distinct from sins. This is sin. And it is translating a word that David used in Psalm 32 that speaks of deliberate turning aside. It's a verb that has the idea of doing something perversely, doing something wickedly. It carries the notion, quite simply, of doing wrong. Deliberately turning out of the way. Now you put all those three together, and you get a picture of ungodliness and of guilt. Rebelling against God and His law. Men replace both God and His law with themselves and with their own desires, and thus they turn aside wickedly out of the way. Isaiah 53 verse 6 describes the result. Doesn't use the same verb for turning aside deliberately, but it does convey the result. All we like sheep have gone astray, then it says, we have turned everyone to his own way. I like what the American Lutheran commentator Lenski had to say on this. He said, each would be his own God in godlessness and his own law in lawlessness. Anybody who's ever read Lenski would know that he always likes to put things in his own cryptic fashion. What he's saying is this, and it's very true. Men express their godlessness by making themselves their own God. Men express their lawlessness by making themselves their own law. This is the sin. This is the guilt. This is the ungodliness with which justification ultimately has to deal. Now, stop there for a moment. Put those three things together. This is God giving us a picture of human nature in its activities. It's not a flattering picture. And God is not at this point in time. There are other parts of the Bible where He is quite willing to note some things that evil men do under the force of His common grace. He can let evil men do things that are good for society, good even for the church. And God will take note of that. Jehu is an outstanding example. A bad man who did some good things. Necessary things. But in this, God's not interested in saying, now there are some mitigating factors here. There are some things here that soften the image. After all, these people still do this, 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 and this. They're good to cats and dogs. They've opened the children's home. They've done this, they've done that, they've done the other thing. No, no, he's not interested in any of that. He said, look, this is the heart of the matter. This is the heart of the matter. Ungodly. Depraved. This is their wickedness. And I would put it to you that such guilt and ungodliness deserves to be condemned. And there's not a man in the world could ever complain against God for damning him for such sin. And yet we read, having emphasized the awful, vicious, willful, wretched, criminal nature of ungodliness, we read, God justifies the ungodly. Now, understand the full force of that. Here's something that goes deeper than any subjective change of feeling. This goes deeper than us feeling miserable for sin and feeling happy that we're saved. It goes much deeper than any subjective change of feeling. It goes much deeper than even any change of personal character. When we look at a man, all we can see is a change in his behavior or a change in his character. I know men who once were deep into booze and drugs, and today they're living clean. I can see the difference and rejoice in the grace of God that has made them different. But this is something that goes much deeper than any change of personal character. This is a statement that describes a radical change in our standing before the holy law of God. Now notice how verse 8 ends up. The Lord will not impute sin. Or as David put it, God will not impute iniquity. Now what does this mean? Paul has said what it means. It means He will impute righteousness. I put this together. This is an astonishing statement. Here we have these three words that emphasize the total wickedness of man. His lawlessness. His deliberate perversion in that he misses God's mark and he's aiming for something selfish and wicked. Something totally different. There's a deliberate turning away. A perverse doing of wrong. There's this wickedness that would make himself his own God and his own law. He deserves to be damned. And yet we read God, the Lord, does not impute this iniquity. But He does impute righteousness. That's the statement. And what a wonder of divine grace. For this is an act that's worthy of God. Only divine wisdom and divine goodness could devise such a plan. Nobody else could think of it. I want you to see this. God declares the ungodly righteous. When we get into the end of chapter 4 and then into chapter 5, we will see more fully how he can do this. For God's not telling any lies here. God's not play acting. He's not pretending. I said a week or two ago, when he says you have perfect righteousness, then there is an objective possession that is really ours. We do have a perfect righteousness. To anticipate, it is the righteousness of Christ's obedience. It's made over to us, but it's ours. Just as our sin became his righteousness becomes ours. God is declaring the ungodly righteous before his judgment bar, and he can do this without compromising his own character and without lowering the standards of his own law. Now mark it well, because here is the beauty of a free justification. People fail to understand this, and so I'm going to labor the point. Some of you may grasp it very easily, but believe me, even in this church tonight, there will be plenty of people, and they will find it very hard to grasp. This addresses our legal standing before God. Now, God does a whole lot more than that when he saves you. Understand this. When God saves you, he regenerates you, he reconciles you, he renews you, he sanctifies you, you can go down the list. This is not the only thing God does. But I want you to understand this. This is fundamental to everything else. Unless the Lord justifies, then there's nothing else he can do to save us. Without this, there's nothing. Understand clearly what I'm saying. This justification, and this comes as always, you see, at heart, everybody's a Roman Catholic in soteriology. That's the doctrine of salvation. Why? Because it's the expression of a depraved human nature. Everybody has a natural propensity to the popish position of salvation or justification by works. That's the way the human heart leans. Its pride, its ungodliness leads in that direction. And therefore, it comes as a shock to people when they hear that justification does not describe God's action to make us holy. That's not what it's about. Justification does not describe God's action to make us holy. It is not the action of God in changing us into his image. In justification, the righteousness we receive is imputed, not imparted. It is placed to our account. It is a legal transaction. It is a fundamental alteration in our standing before the law and judgment of a holy God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.